what the Lord's laid on my heart kind of picks up where last week left off. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 12. This is where we, this is kind of where we left off, and this is, I want to go back and review this real quickly to get into where I feel that God wants us to get today. Acts chapter 12, I want to look at, we're going to start, just pick out some of the high points here. I want you to go with me to verse number 11. Acts 12, verse 11. This was the main point that we were looking at last week. And I want to look again here what Peter is speaking. It says, when he came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Now, go back to verse number 8. How do we know? How was Peter assured? How was he 100% certain that God was taking him into this new area, into this new realm? Go back to verse number 8. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Then you go down to verse number 11. He says, "I know that God has sent forth his angel, has rescued me from the hand of oppression, Herod, and all of the expectation of the Jewish people." Father God, we come before you again. And Lord, I want to thank you how you have confirmed your word here again today. I thank you for what you're about to do in this place. I thank you for what you've already done. And I thank you for what you're about to do. Now, God, over the next several minutes, I pray that you would touch me, that you would remove my flesh out of the way, that your Holy Spirit would have room to operate. God, that none of my words, none of my thoughts, none of my opinions would come forth, but only what the Spirit says to the church today. Lord, I echo the words of John the Baptist, "I must decrease in order that you would increase." Here today, we give you thanks, we give you honor, we give you glory for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, "Amen." You can be seated. I want you to look at this again here for a minute. You remember what we covered last week, and then what we just read here in verse number 8. Remember, the angel was telling Peter, "This is where you're at, but now you got to be prepared because this is where you're going." So he was telling him, "You're at point A, but I'm fixing to take you. God wants to take you to point B." All right, and he, look how he told him. He told him to get prepared. He tells him, he says, "Put your shoes on and put your cloak around you," and he says, "Follow me." Now, with that being said, that's all we know about that portion of what was going on in Peter's life at that time. Doesn't say anything about conditions. We know he was in prison. We know that the shackles came off. And can you imagine that? I mean, stop and put yourself in Peter's place just for a minute. There he is. There's a prayer vigil going on elsewhere. So there's people interceding for him. He's in prison. For all intents and purposes, he thinks this is probably the end. The Bible tells us that he's between two soldiers. In verse number 6, he was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two... Listen, here's Peter, this great threat. Yeah, all he was just a man of God preaching Jesus Christ. He was preaching a message that wasn't popular at that time. And they put him in between two guards and wrapped him in two chains. What a threat this guy was. And he's sitting there, and the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Peter, get your shoes on, get your jacket on, because where you're at right now is not where God's going to leave you. He's going to take you from where you're at, and he's got something better for you." With that said, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. I love to hear Bible pages turn. That is one of the most beautiful sounds on planet Earth. Luke chapter 8. Go with me to verse number 22. "Now it came about on one of those days that he and his disciples got into a boat. And he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves. And they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? You know, what's interesting about this is one of those same individuals that's on that boat is the same guy that we just read about in Acts chapter 12. The same Peter that was in prison in Acts chapter 12 is on this boat at this point in time. Now, I want you to go back with me to verse number 22. Let's just kind of look at this for a moment. It came about on one of those days that Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. And look what he says. He says, Let us go over. He says, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out. Now, here's the interesting thing about this, folks. That I've never been to Israel, but I've heard the stories. You know, these aren't, you know, like the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. These are actually really lakes. These are landlocked lakes. But some of the stories that I've heard is that certain times of the year, that some of the craziest storms that you could ever imagine seeing will take place on these lakes. Now, I've seen videos and documentaries of things that have happened on our Great Lakes, but in comparison to our Great Lakes here in the United States and in Canada, the lakes and the small little seas in Israel don't even compare to the size. But these lakes, for whatever reason, these lakes are known for severe storms, and they'll just pop up. Everything will be calm, and then all of a sudden a storm will pop up just like that. And you look at this, because all indication that we see here in verse number 22 is that everything was smooth sailing. Everything was just calm. Everything was just peaceful. And Jesus said something. He said, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. Now, this phrase here, let us go over, has a unique meaning, because it means to pass over, but there's another phrase that's used, another definition of this, and it means to pierce through. It means to pierce. So he's saying, now think about this. All but one individual on that boat knew what was about to happen. The other 12 had no idea. They had no clue what was about to happen. But Jesus, speaking in that language, tells them, let's pierce through. We're going to pierce through this. And I just wonder if the disciples are scratching their head at this point and saying, well, what does he mean, pierce through? What do you mean? Why do we have to pierce through something? Because I'm looking at the other side of the lake and everything's calm. The water is still. It's a beautiful sunny day. Everything is picture perfect. Why do we have to, what are we piercing through? Then all of a sudden, at the least likely moment, the biggest storm that they could imagine showed up and landed right in their laps. Let's read on here. As they were sailing along, Jesus went and fell asleep. Just fell asleep. Just went to the back of the boat, laid down, took a nap. And it says, a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake. And they began to be swamped and to be in danger. So now, everything that a few moments prior to, everything that is calm and pristine, just a fun day on the lake, now turns into a massive windstorm. And when the wind picks up over waters, what happens? You get these massive waves. If you've ever been at the ocean, on the beach, I remember the last time we went to the beach, back in 2001, I'll never forget one of the last days we were there, there was this massive storm that you could see off the coast. It wasn't a hurricane, it was just a storm out at sea. And I remember the next day, for the duration of that storm, and into the next day, all this dead sea life washed up on the shore, and they put signs out and they told everybody, you can't go out because of the threat of disease. You have to stay off the beach because of all the dead fish and different things like that. But I can remember as that storm, I mean, it was just where we were at, it was sunny. The skies were crystal clear blue, but it just didn't even look like it was that far of a walk. That just right off the coast, there was this massive storm. It was as black as my shirt, and these waves started coming in, and some of the heaviest rains that I have ever seen in my life came in. And it just, all of us, everything changed in a minute. People are out on the beach having a good time, and then all of a sudden, warnings are coming out, and they're telling people, watch out for rip currents, watch out for these animals being washed up on sea, get out of the water because of the threat of being pulled out for drowning or the threat of disease coming from these dead animals. Folks, things can quickly change. Things can change in a moment's time. You know, you hear these stories all the time that an individual that I knew that I worked with for several years was on his way, on his day off, here local. Everybody in here is probably familiar with this story. But this guy was on his way into work on an off day just to work overtime. Just to work overtime. Driving down one of the local highways, somebody comes in the opposite direction, on his side of the road, hits him head on. Both drivers and the one driver's pet died in that accident. And this guy that I knew is on his way to work just to put in 4 hours of overtime. For all intents and purposes, he had no business even being on that road that day. He just had called in and said, is there overtime? Can I come in and work? We don't know what's going to happen, folks. We don't know when we leave this parking lot. That's why it's important that whether we're leaving a house, whether we're leaving the church, whether we're leaving our job, whatever it is, we need to pray because we don't know what is going to happen up in front of us. You know, as we take every step of every day, we don't know what's going to happen in front of us. We don't know what the next step brings. But we've got to be prepared. But here's the beautiful thing. You know, we prepare in prayer. We don't live in fear. We don't, you know, refuse to leave the house or do anything like that or refuse to get behind the wheel of a car because of fear. We continue to live. Here is the beautiful thing, though, folks. We may not know what's coming, but there's somebody on the boat. There's somebody on the boat that knows what's coming. See, what is amazing about this, in verse number 22, Jesus was well aware of what was coming because the wording here, he says, let us pierce through. There's nothing to pierce when they launch that boat. There's nothing for them to pierce through. It's just a calm day on the lake. I'm here on this side, and I'm going to go over on the other side. But Jesus uses this word, and he says, let's pierce through to the other side. He had foresight to know what was coming. And it's amazing because all he was doing was just testing their faith a little bit. They start freaking out in verse number 24. It says, they wake him up, Master, Master, we are perishing. And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves. And isn't that amazing? I mean, folks, we get so crazy sometimes that we think our situation, there's nothing that God can do about our situation. We think that, oh, you know, God, I believe that you can take care of the small things. But when it's this big thing, Lord, I don't know if you can do that. I just don't know if you can do it. These folks had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And they had no clue who was on that boat with them. And I mean, think about that for a minute. They had seen Jesus do all these amazing things up to this point. And yet they were still questioning. They thought they were dying. They thought they were going down. Now here's the thing. Number one, they should have known. They should have known that they were going to make it because Jesus said, let's pierce through to the other side. We're going to start here, but we're going to get to the other side. You know why that is? You go down to the next little passage of Scripture starting in verse number 26. They had some ministry they had to do. We read about a man who was possessed with a multitude of demons. Jesus knew exactly why they left point A and exactly where they were headed. He knew that something big was about to happen. So this should have caught them off guard. Number one, they should have known. They should have known they were going to make it. No matter how small or how big the storm was, they should have known just from the very words that came out of Jesus' mouth, they should have known they were going to make it through. And then when the storm came, they should have stopped and realized for a moment who it was that was on that boat with them. They're panicking. They're freaking out. Master, Master, we are perishing. And it says, being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves. And they stopped and it became calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? You know, we talk about this a lot around here. What we believe and who we serve. There's not a whole lot of people around this planet that can lay claim to that. Some people worship little gods and idols of wood, or they'll prance around and dance around a black rock. They'll pray to a god, little g, that is dead. Somebody may have started a belief system, that person's dead, you can go anywhere throughout the world and you can find so-and-so's bones. But you know what's amazing? You go to Jerusalem, Israel today, and you go into the garden tomb, and you know what you'll find there? There's a sign hanging in the garden tomb that says, "He is not here, He is risen." Just like that song said, no matter how hard the storm rages, that anchor is still going to hold. If we plant our... listen to this. I mean, Jesus, and I say this all the time, but Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." See, folks, the church, is we go through things. We go through little things. We go through big things. We go through individual things. We go through collective things. The fact of the matter is, God's people go through things. But here's the thing. If we are anchored and our feet are set on the rock firm, we're not going to perish. We're not going to go down. These folks should have known, you know, hey, He's here. We're not going to get through. Number one, He said we're going to make it. Number two, He's the guy that's here on this boat. He didn't put us on the boat and go back in the house. He got on the boat with us. We should have known. Now, you know, here's another thing. It's amazing because, you know, the Bible tells us that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. You know, is it possible? Because I could take you back throughout the Old Testament. I could take you in the New Testament. Several places where the enemy tried to destroy Jesus Christ. We go all the way back to the Jewish nation in the Old Testament. Tried to wipe the Jewish people completely out. What happened when Jesus was born? He raised up a king, manipulated a king to kill all the firstborn males in Israel. Tried to kill Jesus as a baby. Tried to kill Him in the 40 days of temptation. I mean, can you imagine? We don't even know what Jesus went through for 40 days. We only know those final three temptations after the 40 days were complete. We don't know what He went through. We don't know what He endured. But here's the thing. You know, this is how illogical the adversary of our souls, this is how illogical he thinks. Jesus gets on that boat, and he thinks, you know what, I've got him. I'll cause a storm to rise up. And that boat's going to go down, and he's going to drown. You know what the devil forgot? The maker of the wind and the water was also the very same guy that was on that boat that can walk on said water. Yeah, I mean, think about that. Oh, I've got him. All this plan that God has, it's over, it's done with. What God has in store for the disciples, it's over and done with. They're going down. And there is the one on the boat that can walk across the water. They said, "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? That he could speak to the wind, that he could speak to the waves, and they have to obey." Didn't say they might obey. It says that they have to obey. He commands the winds, he commands the water, and they obey him. Do you really know the Jesus that you serve? Yeah, and let me go one step further. People that are playing games in their relationship with God, do they really know who Jesus Christ is and what he's capable of? There's a reason why Scripture tells us not to be afraid of man who can only destroy this body. It says we're to have a reverent fear of God who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I want you to think about this. These folks had a mission. Jesus was taking them to the other side. He was going... Let's look at this real simply. They start off at point A on a very calm, sunny day. They get halfway to point B. This massive storm rises up, tries to kill them. But Jesus had already said, "We're going to pierce through. We're going to get through the storm, and we're going to make it to the other side." They get to the other side, and what happens? It's calm again. How do we know that? Because the wind and the waves abated. They calmed. So they started on a good day, and they finished on a good day. You know, we sit back sometimes and we think, you know, it's just, does God really know where I'm at? Does He really care? We think that sometimes that things that we go through, these are unexpected little plans. They might be unexpected for you and I, but these unexpected little things that we go through in life, you know, imagine getting that phone call telling you that your loved one who just left for work didn't make it. Imagine getting that phone call on the morning of September 11th, 2001. I mean, think about that. Imagine being a parent of or a grandparent of a child who is in the military, and this individual, boy, girl, was in a relatively calm place, but a terrorist just happened to be there that day. Imagine getting that phone call. Things unexpected happen for us. But you know, the Word of God tells us that we don't have to go into any situation unprepared. We don't have to go in. There's not a situation that we will deal with in this life that we have to go into unprepared. Prove it to me, okay? Do you know how to pray? You know what I pray in the mornings? Lord, I don't know what today's going to bring, but just watch over me, watch over my family, and protect us. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, I've learned, folks, to pray God's will. I don't know, when I leave the house, I'm going to be honest with you, when I leave our house, I don't know if I'll ever go back in our living room. I don't know what's going to happen out on the roadway. But I've learned to trust the one who's got my soul in the palm of His hands. The one that can look at me one of these days and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into, welcome home to the kingdom which I have prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or the one that would say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." You know what I found out here just not too long ago? In that verse where he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know what that word, the word "knew"? It doesn't mean just to know somebody. It means to have an intimate relationship. I wonder how many people sitting in churches across America today have no idea what it means to be intimate with God. That's what he's saying. "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never had an intimate relationship with you." I want to love my Jesus. I don't want to just simply know Him in a manner where it's just a handshake, say, "Hey, how you doing today?" I want to know Him, and I want Him to know me. Because I never know when I'm going to be on that boat. I never know when that storm is going to rise. But the thing is, folks, we got to remember, if it's God's will for us to pierce through, we're going to pierce through. You know, here's another thing. I want to share this with you. Go with me real quickly to Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus in Matthew 6 at the beginning here is teaching on prayer. And we get down to verse number 9 and he gives them the manner, the format for prayer. And I hear people say, "Well, that's the only prayer you should ever pray." That's not what he said. He said, "Pray like this." Meaning use this as an outline, because if you really study this out, and I preached this here a few years ago, I may have to do this again, but if you take the Lord's Prayer and you break it down, I mean, it covers everything. If you really study it out, it covers everything. But I want you to look at something. He's talking about hypocrites here. He's talking about the Pharisees. And he's talking about, verse number 1, he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them." You know, don't be praying and shouting and screaming with one eye closed and one eye open, worried about who's watching you. And then he goes down here and he says in verse number 7, he says, "When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that their words," or "they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." Look at verse number 8. He says, "Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask." Your Father knows what you need before you even ask. I can't tell you the times when I was a child and the times that since I've been a parent that I had a need that my parents were already aware of, or my children had a need that they didn't think I knew about. But I knew. But you know what? Sometimes it's just nice to hear them come and say, Daddy, here's my need this week. Do you think for 1 minute that God doesn't feel that same way? Can you imagine the love in his heart and the joy in his eyes when one of his children comes to him and says, Daddy, I got a need today. I've got a need. And you're the only one that can meet that need. I can picture God sitting on his throne with that big smile. Just a huge smile saying, yeah, I knew you had that need. Because he told us he already knew about it before we even asked. You know, these disciples, going back to Luke chapter 8, the disciples had a need. They had a desperate need. Their lives were in jeopardy. They had a desperate need. But here, before they even went back to the back of the boat, before they, you know, there's one of the Gospels talks about Jesus with his head on a pillow. He was just, I mean, he's out. He's on a bed, on a pillow, out. They're freaking out, but you know, the most amazing thing is they're on that boat. And just imagine, you know, we only have a couple little words here, but can you think about what that would have been like on that boat that day? I mean, anything you can get, whether it's a bucket, whether it's a styrofoam cup, you're going to be doing something to get the water out of that thing. You're going to be doing everything you can to save that ship. When they got at their most desperate point, they got so desperate they had no other choice but to turn to him. And they turned and they ran to that boat, to the back of that boat, and they found him at their most desperate place. And you know what the beautiful thing about it is? Not only did he tell them, you're going to make it through, but he already knew. You think that it's something amazing that you might be going through something right now? Here's the most amazing thing about it, church. God knows. He knew about your storm before it ever rose up. And we limit God, folks. We put him in this little box. And we think that remember how we used to do with lightning bugs? Catch them and look at them. We think, okay, Jesus, are you in there? We think that's all he's capable of doing. Thank God this is not all he can do. He knows when it happens. He knows before it happens. And he's already got the solution for us to get out of trouble. He's already got the solution. So, if I can leave you with anything today, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what the rest of today is going to bring. But Jesus Christ says, let's pierce through. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to get through it. Whether it's the most debilitating thing you could ever imagine, whether it's the biggest financial storm you've ever been through in your life, the biggest crisis that you can imagine, Jesus says, don't worry about it. We're going to pierce through. We're going to make it. Let's stand together this afternoon. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word.